Amistad and Harper Audio present Never Forget Our People Were Always Free, A Parable of American Healing by Benjamin Todd Jealous. This is the author. A note before we begin. Some names were changed to protect identities of the innocent and the guilty. In each case, only a first name was used, never a last name. Also, to access the notes section, be sure to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/neverforgetourpeoplewerealwaysfree. To Jack, Morgan, Emma, Dylan, and Nina. Prologue. Hey, cousin. A news alert flashed on one of the screens. Vice President Cheney rushed to hospital. We were on a commercial break. I was sitting at the table on NBC's Sunday morning talk show, Meet the Press. It was 2013, and I was national president of the NAACP. I was there to discuss the case of yet another black teenager who had been wrongfully killed. I leaned over to the host, David Gregory, and confessed, "I just found out he's my cousin." He looked at me and shrugged, "Isn't he like every black person's cousin?" I was stunned by his reply. Then I remembered that President Barack Obama and Vice President Dick Cheney were cousins too. He had a point. "I'm pretty sure that's not how he thinks of himself," I said with a chuckle. The show resumed. Later, on the way home, I pondered the exchange. I remembered that Merle Evers, the widow of slain NAACP leader Medgar Evers, had once told me she was pretty sure she and the former Arizona senator and 2008 Republican nominee for president, John McCain, were cousins. Other civil rights leaders who hailed from the South said they were cousins to him, too. Some black leaders were even kin to notorious segregationists. My grandma had told me about the white supremacist Senator Strom Thurmond's black daughter long before it was national news. I decided a more fitting reply would have been, "Aren't we all cousins?" I couldn't help but wonder what would happen if every American actually acted like every other American was their cousin too. My mind drifted back to my newfound cousin. The only time I had met Cheney, a Wyoming Republican who had spent his career in Congress before ascending to the vice presidency, was at President George W. Bush's last 4th of July party as president. I was invited to the White House because I had just been appointed to my role at the NAACP. Cheney and I were dressed identically. At the time, it was a little awkward. My recent discovery that we had common ancestors in England made me wonder if a preference for lavender-checked shirts was the product of shared genes. Chapter 1. Trouble in the Air. They say we're headed toward a civil war. Who is they? Historians, sociologists, television pundits, and the last guy with whom I had a real conversation and my favorite Jimmy Buffett-style waterside bar. He was an amiable older man wearing a T-shirt that celebrated his status as a veteran. Just past 70, he'd spent half a century moving up the ranks in a grocery store. He and his wife approached where we were sitting before paying my date and I a compliment. We quickly fell into a warm conversation about life, kids, whiskey, and boats. As we were preparing to leave, the conversation paused. The man looked at me and said, "You know this country we both love so much? It's headed toward a civil war or a revolution. I don't know which. The only difference between the two, of course, is who wins. I honestly don't know what to make of it all. What I can tell you is this: America needs a spiritual reckoning and an actual revival. We think of ourselves as a nation that makes
Sample complete. Ready to continue?